Welcome back to Fox Sports 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman, and this is the Stay Connected Podcast, your Central Jersey esports podcast. We have a lot of smaller stories to talk about today, as well as some bigger ones concerning players of the North American region and League of Legends, and what is going on this weekend for Worlds. So, we are in the final stages of everything. Let's talk about it right here on Fox Sports. Dive right into the madness. I have to say this. Just when I thought there was no more reasons to talk about Overwatch 2. Like, I thought I was climbing the mountain. I thought I was at the peak. Supposedly, I was wrong. Because now we're getting reports that there has been a new blog post saying Overwatch 2 is going to have another massive change compared to Overwatch 1. What that change is apparently you're going to need to grind to even unlock competitive play if you're a new player, as well as unlock all the champs from the previous game. That's right. Supposedly, you're supposed to grind about 100 matches to unlock everything. So, what is going on and what are players' reactions to this? Some actually don't mind this, because let me tell you the reason why Blizzard is doing this. Blizzard is doing this so that new players don't feel like they get overwhelmed or have to learn too much too quickly, which makes sense to me. In a game especially as big as Overwatch, even for, you know, other games like League, Dota 2, other strategy-based games especially, where you have to learn all the comps and metas like Teamfight Tactics, you have to go into it slow or you're going to learn nothing at all and just lose. That's the way I see it. So I don't mind this too much. What I do mind is, and this might need clarification, is the choice. Do you have to do this if you buy the game, or like, is it like, will it ask you if you are a new player or if you know what you're doing and then you could just skip everything and unlocks it all? Because there gets to a certain point, if you remember last episode, if not, or one of the previous episodes, check it out on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com under the podcast tab. Well, then the Overwatch 2 Battle Pass, that's already something you have to grind for. If you're telling me everybody has to grind for this already, that's too much. It's too much. It's too locked up. Your players, it feels like you're suffocating them almost. So, I don't know how I feel about it as that, but in this blog post, there was confirmation that you could kind of skip this a little bit if you're playing in a group. If you're playing in a group, you can play competitive, you can do whatever you want. You could skip this process. So that's good at least. But I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like Blizzard is kind of going too hard into these changes. Otherwise, you know, it's their game. It's free to play. You don't have to play it. Whatever, right? But it's insane. It is insane to think about, especially considering all of the already massive changes from Overwatch 1 to Overwatch 2. So I'm definitely excited still for Overwatch 2. I'm still definitely going to be keeping on board with all of the esports community that revolves around it. But this is just one of the changes that I don't know if it needed to happen necessarily. I don't know if they went the right way around it. But we'll definitely see. Next story. Let's talk about JoJo Pyun. If you don't know who he is on a team in the North American region of League of Legends. He is one of the best players in the league. So if you don't know who we're talking about, he is a mid laner. He was. I believe he came from, I think he came from either Europe or Asia, I want to say. I'm not too sure about that. I think he might have actually just been an NA all of, yeah, no, he's just an NA, no, yeah, he didn't have any other time in other regions, which makes that even more surprising. because he's a mid laner currently for Evil Geniuses. Evil Geniuses, if you don't know, they are one of the best teams in the North America region, even though they had a crushing defeat at the North American finals. Or not finals, I wouldn't say finals. I should say during the playoffs, they had a crushing defeat. They're in one of the lower brackets, and they will be playing, I believe, today. Today, they are playing for the final round of the early bracket elimination for Worlds. And then next weekend, which we'll talk about later, because it's going to be, you know, a lot coming up. Next weekend, I believe, is when we finally get down to some of the nitty-gritty. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, let's talk about what JoJo Pune did. So the North America's Champions Queue, what this is, it's kind of like players warming up. It's, you know, 3 days of them just kind of going back and forth, trying to get ready for the challenges to come. This happened, you know, I think last week. So what JoJo Pune did was the high level of trolling, because he actually beat the LEC's, which is the European region's MVP. And he kind of trolled a little bit by just typing in chat that NA is better than EU. Oh, JoJo, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are inciting the storm, I feel like. And if anybody else feels that way, some people might be mad at JoJo for this. I mean, he had a beautiful score that game. He went 9-1-10 for his KDA. You know, it was just an amazing game. So, to be a little cheeky, I get it. I understand perfectly. I don't fault him. But now he's going to have to back it up a little bit, saying that NA is better than EU when, you know, looking at history-wise, it's not really true. He's going to have to put his money where the mouth is. That's all I'm saying. I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see an NA team kick butt at Worlds. I would. I just don't think it'll happen because of just, you know, skill gap and stuff like that. But I'm down to be surprised because I would be freaking out in my house if I saw that happen live. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye on JoJo's performance. Hopefully he's able to perform like he did in that game. 9-1, that's not bad at all. So let's move over because I want to talk about some patch notes. Some patch notes for League of Legends because we are, you know, I'd say about a week into 12.18. We should be getting, I think we're getting 12.19. I'm not too sure for League of Legends. When is patch 2 or 12.19? Because I think that's the last patch of the season, I want to say. There might be 21, actually, now that I think about it. Because I know they do one before Worlds actually happens. Because for those who don't know, the League of Legends Pro Circuit, they are like weeks ahead of patches compared to all the other regular players. Yeah, so 12.19 is on its way as we get closer to Season 13. So it should be simple, from what I'm reading. Yeah, it should be a simple update, so it won't be too bad. October 5th. October 5th is when 12.19 is coming out. So next episode, we'll definitely be talking about that because that's going to be a huge one, because that's right before Worlds starts coming. But as I said, for Worlds, they've already been playing on 12.19. It's just an important update for us, the players. So let's talk about the patch updates that I think are going in the direction for League of Legends. Looking at it, it looks like Assassins took a massive, massive debuff. Now, yeah, let's talk about the updates. So I think Assassins are definitely getting nerfed here. Because looking at it, Hecarim, Nocturne, Kane. Hecarim's a little bit less of an assassin, but he's definitely a charge type of unit. That's what I really should mean. Units that charge in, at least as far as junglers are concerned, because those three are all junglers. They all have pretty similar skill sets in terms of rush towards your opponent, especially with like Nocturne. His ultimate is a not map range ultimate, but a large scale ultimate to where you can jump to an enemy as long as you have vision of them and as long as they're in your range. So we'll go by this one by one and we'll talk about what I'm seeing here. So first of all, in the bot lane, Ashe's Q auto our bonus attack speed is increased. That's pretty good for Ashe. I feel like she kind of needs it, though I'm a little worried because we haven't really been seeing it as far as high scale pro play is involved, but in the lower ranks, having 280 carries with Ashe being support, that's kind of in the meta. So this is, I think, definitely going to cement it a little bit more. Of course, it comes with its own risks. You're not as strong as if you had an actual support, but still something to look out for. Could be a game changer. Hecarim, his Q AD ratio is being decreased, and his damage per stack is being decreased, as well as his W post-mitigation damage heal reduced. Hecarim's just being nerfed into the ground. To be honest, I haven't really seen anyone be playing Hecarim, so I don't really know what this nerf is about. Maybe it's just covering their bases for the wide scale nerf, but meh. Kalista, another one champion that I'm like, alright, it's not going to affect me because I don't really play AD carry, but her base health has decreased by, I think, what is that, like 725 points, something like that? Yeah, or really 30, I guess. But it's not terrible, you know, doesn't really change anything about her. You just have to be a little more careful early game is all I'm thinking there. Now, Kane. Now, his Darken from Q bonus AD scaling has decreased. That's important. That is important. Because I don't think one of the biggest, you know, upsides to Kane is just he can stick on you and do massive amounts of damage, and then he can ult you, be inside of your body for a couple of seconds, pop out, and do all that damage probably again if the player is good enough. So I like this change. I like that they're decreasing it. It makes him pop off a little bit less. I think that's good. Lee Sin. Lee Sin health growth increased. W life steal and spell vamp increased. This I disagree with. This is the one thing in the patch that I completely disagree with. Lee Sin, I think, is one of the strongest junglers right now. Giving him more lifesteal will not be good. Because he can already just get in there, full heal. And that's another thing I really want to talk about. Why isn't Nyla in here? Nyla, for those who don't know, she's a new champion of League of Legends. I hate her because she is stupid busted. You don't have to be good to play her. You just have to buy two items and then you can 1v5 and still have health to spare. All because of your healing. It's just ridiculous. Even if you get anti-healing, which, you know, to reference a bad experience, my team was doing all right. They had a Nyla on their team. She had two healing items. Bloodthirster, and I think Immortal Shield Bow. You know, I was probably doing the best on my team. I was putting in a good fight. I had anti-heal, but I couldn't do anything to her. She just healed it all. Even with anti-heal. It's just too much. I'm disappointed that she's not in here. I'm hoping she'll get a nerf in 12.19. Otherwise, I feel like she's just going to be one of those, you know, top-picked champions or top banned champions in upcoming Worlds. We'll see, though. I'm not too sure about this. I'm not too sure on the rules of this. She might be too new to even play in Worlds, which, if that's the case, good for, you know, the Worlds teams. They don't have to deal with it. But for all of us who do have to deal with it, it's a nightmare. Let me tell you that. Another, you know, shout out. They also changed Udyr's Q. I like that. I feel like his Q is kind of, you know, at what it was. It wasn't enough. There was no reason to really tech into it because he's one of those champions where you can do a bunch of different customization based off what type of build you're going on. His Q is attack speed. So what they've added in new to it is that his first two attacks gain 50 range, which is pretty awesome. And then his awakened Q now deals 2 to 5% based on your level, max health physical damage on the first two attacks. That was pretty good because that means max health physical damage, he'll be a tank buster if he techs into his Q, which is what you need sometimes. So I like where they're going with Udyr. I hope they keep it up. I enjoy him as a champion. I don't think he's overly busted yet. I feel like they might get to a point, but with them also subsequently, you know, knocking his R down a little bit as far as magic damage is concerned, you know, you could definitely take him in some places depending on where you're building. I think R max is still a great jungle path. So that's definitely interesting to see. I like what they're doing. Let's move on to something I really want to talk about before anything else. It is the official World's 2022 Power Rankings. This is coming from Dot Esports. They are a massive esports website. So let me see what they ranked as the best teams. I'm only going to do top 10 because I'm going to focus on top 10. And if I see where they've put our NA teams that I don't agree with, I'll call it out. But for top 10, of course, it's going to be mostly teams not from NA. So number 10 is G2 Esports, which I'm very surprised. I'm very surprised that G2 is so low. They are a great team, and while they do have their problems, they're still a formidable opponent. I'm not sure why they're number 10, but with the way they've been playing, I could see it, seeing as, you know, they're not as good as they used to be. Number nine actually goes to Cloud9. So they are your best shot for Worlds. And the article says this. They are your only shot for North America being at Worlds. I agree with that. You know, despite how far Evil Geniuses or, you know, the other teams in North America, like 100 Thieves, have come, Cloud9, still your best shot, even though I don't like them. I think they're too cocky. I think, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. They are still a very good team. So we'll see if that changes this coming, you know, weekend. We'll see what's going on. Number 8 is Rogue. Rogue is one of the best teams in the LEC, and I am surprised that Dot has them listed as number 8. I would probably picture them top 5 for me, but that's just because I like their roster. I like their play style. I like their way they work together. Number 7 is DG. I'm having a moment here. All these team names, it's DWGKIA. I can understand why they're number 7. You know, they were one of the best teams last year. They almost took the championship. And I think they did in 2021, you know. So, or they at least had a very interesting history in 2021. But I could see why they're number 7. I don't think they'll get terribly far. I definitely don't think they're going to win this year. If anyone's going to win this year, I would definitely have to say it's either, like, Gen G or like Top Esports. They're both two incredible teams. Maybe JD Gaming might take it. I know JD Gaming is one of the top picks, but let's keep going on with the list. Royal Never Give Up, again, another solid team. They have good teamwork in the LPL, so it might be able to shine ahead depending on the roster. And they did defeat Team 1 in a Game 5 battle in South Korea last May. So that is definitely interesting. I want to see more from them. If they're able to perform, I think they'll be a top contender. Then we have T1. T1 is Faker's team, I believe. You know, they always do good, though I don't really think they're going to get as far this year just because there's so much more competition. We'll have to see more for them. Edward Gaming. Edward Gaming, I believe, did win World Championship last year after quite a rough season. I don't know if they'll go all the way again this year. I really don't. I think it's been a rough season for them. I think, you know, maybe they can rely on their ADC. He's one of the best in the world, Viper, but it's going to be a tough match. It really depends how they hold up in their group. You know, that really depends. And then once out of their group, depends on the bracket. That the bracket is the top decider for which teams are able to advance and which teams are not. All right. And then, as I said before, Top Esports number 3, JD Gaming 2, Gen G 1. I agree, Gen G is one of the best teams in the world. In the world. They have an amazing roster, they have amazing talent, and they have dominance in their respective roles. So it'll definitely be an interesting matchup between them and whatever team they are able to, you know, go against. I mean, look at it. In the grand finals, they destroyed. They destroyed by going 3-0. You know, that speaks some volume to who they are as a team. So that'll definitely be interesting. Let's talk about what is happening this weekend. Because we are in the, I believe we are in the final weekend of those best of ones that we talked about last episode. And if you missed that, go to our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. You could check out all the episodes of the Stay Connect podcast as well as this one when it is uploaded, if you missed any moments from it. So we are looking at today. Today is October 2nd. October 2nd. Happy October, by the way. I never said that. I'm happy because it's my birth month. Next weekend is actually my birthday. So I think it actually falls on a Sunday. It does. Look at that. So next episode is going to be a birthday special, a little bit of a birthday special. But no, it's going to be a fun weekend today, especially looking at some of the times for these events, because it just goes from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. non-stop battling. You have some alright games here. Evil Geniuses, one of the only North American teams. They are going against a team that I know nothing about. So I think Evil Geniuses, it depends if Calorie can keep up. It really depends. Because if you remember from last episode, or if you don't know, their AD carry, he's not a part of Worlds, I believe. I believe he's taking off for his mental health. Good for him. Does put Evil Geniuses in a rough spot. But Kauri has had time. He's had a little bit more time to practice. I saw a lot of potential in him during those past games. He did a lot of things right. You know, a couple of mistakes that he couldn't really help. But they should have no problem winning this. Should have no problem. At least I hope. Who are other games that I think are interesting? Royal Give Up versus Saigon Buffalo Esports. You know, I think Royal has that in the bag. I'd be surprised. Saigon Buffaloes is a good team. They did well during MSI, but I don't think they'll be able to keep up. Megabank Beyond Gaming versus Fnatic. That is starting us off at 4 o'clock. I just like watching Fnatic play. I think they have amazing, amazing positioning, and they have amazing players. So those are the three games I'm really going to be keeping my eye on. And then, you know, that's going to kind of be it. It's going to kind of be it. We have our Monday and Tuesday games, October 3rd and 4th. So keep an eye on that based off. It's all based off, I think, who really wins today. Because today is the last chance for these teams to get that win or secure their spot. So it'll be two matches on Monday, and then it'll be two matches on Tuesday. And then we'll, you know, look at the rest of the week. I know quarterfinals are next weekend, so it'll be interesting. But I want to thank everyone for coming to the Stay Connected podcast, your Central Jersey Esports podcast. You can check out our website, foxsportsradionewjersey.com, for all of the Stay Connected podcast episodes, as well as other, of course I would mess up at the end, as well as all of our other episodes, podcasts, all right here. We are Fox Sports. I'll see you next Sunday. I'm going to go get a glass of water because I clearly need it. Have a happy Sunday. I'll see you next weekend right here on Fox Sports.